Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, August the 4th, and welcome to our commentary. You know, I wanted to direct you very quickly to a brand new post that I have over at the American Thinker Thursday morning. You can read it there, or you can read it on my blog, or I always put these over at my Facebook political page. And it's about Vin Scully, who passed away in the last 48 hours, the great baseball announcer. And, you know, what's interesting to me is that I've gotten many, many comments from people of my generation who are also touched by Vin Scully. So I appreciate that. I think this is a man who in so many ways connected with fans. And it's hard to find that anymore because a lot of that connection had to do with the fact that he was doing radio. And radio connected the baseball announcer with the fan in a way that it's not true anymore. You don't have the same intensity of that connection between communities and fans or fans and baseball teams that you did before. But Vin Scully clearly had a connection with Dodger fans. And you can see it. You can see it in some of the comments that I've gotten about my post over at the American Thinker. So check it out. It's about Vin Scully. I think you'll enjoy it. I want to begin, before we get to our topics today, Governor Santis and the jobless claims, I want to talk a little bit about this news that just broke here in the last couple of hours about the American basketball player, the young woman who is in Russia right now, who has just been convicted to 9 years in prison. That's pretty astonishing. It's pretty astonishing, but there's a couple of lessons here that I think we can all learn. Number one, if you travel to another country, make sure you understand the laws of that country because they may decide to apply them. And you may find yourself at a disadvantage. I mean, she doesn't have the advantages in Russia, obviously, that she's got here as an American. So you need to know where you're going and what laws you need to respect, because you may find yourself in the position that this young woman is in. The other thing is, especially for this young woman who did not want to stand up and salute the American flag during the basketball games, I hope she has a better appreciation now of what living in the United States is all about. And I hope she, when she comes back, that she'll, you know, spread that to some of the younger people who follow her game. I don't think she's going to be there 9 years. I think she'll be in for a short time and they'll get her out. The Russians have no benefit from keeping her for 9 years. I mean, that's simply not something that they're interested in. My phone is ringing, so I better shut this down. Give me a second for a minute here. I forgot to shut off the volume of my phone. So give me a second. There we go. There it is. Forgot to shut it down. But anyway, the Russians have no interest in keeping this young woman there for 9 years because they're using this young woman purely to humiliate the Biden administration. So as soon as they get everything they want out of this, maybe a trade for somebody, a Russian spy in here in the United States or whatever, as soon as they can make a trade, I'm sure they will. But in the meantime, they're going to humiliate the Biden administration as much as they can. And that is what we're seeing with this situation. So we wish her the best. You know, I have always said that, you know, you got to live with your consequences. But I hope that this young woman and many of the players in the WNBA and some of these other athletes who were willing to, who didn't want to salute the American flag, I hope that they appreciate a little bit more the benefits of living in the United States. Well, let's talk a little bit about Governor DeSantis, because he did something today that, frankly, I like to see more governors do, especially the governor of New York, for example, the governor of California. He went after a district attorney. He suspended a district attorney who didn't want to enforce the abortion ban. Whether you like or dislike the abortion ban, that's not the issue. It is the law of the state. That is the law of Florida. And you have to enforce it as a district attorney. If you don't want to enforce the laws of Florida, then you resign and you run for politics or whatever you want to do, or you get a job at CNN, assuming they're still hiring people over there. But you don't, if you're the district attorney, you have to enforce the laws of the state. And in too many places, you have these district attorneys who have decided upon themselves what they're going to enforce and what they're not going to enforce. And it has resulted in total complete chaos. Look at New York City. Look at Los Angeles. Look at San Francisco. Look at other places. So the governor of Florida has said, it's not going to happen here. If you're the district attorney, you're going to enforce the laws of the state. If you don't like them, then resign. Nobody keeping you or forcing you to do the job. And I think this is a great move. Now, many people are saying that this is because he's positioning himself to run for president. Maybe it is. I have no way of accepting or denying that. I mean, he would make a good candidate for president. I've said that before. But I don't think that's what's really motivating him here. I think this is simply a case of a man who's the governor of a state who understands that if you're the district attorney, you have to enforce the law. If you don't like it, you can resign. Nobody's stopping you. But that's what I think it is. Now, would it benefit him in a Republican primary? Of course. Would it benefit him with the rest of the country? Of course, because the fact is, as I said before, many of these district attorneys are hurting their states. They're hurting their cities. Again, I cite New York as a good example of that. San Francisco, what a mess that is in San Francisco. Now, they've made a change, by the way. So there are some hopeful signs in San Francisco. They got rid of the guy who was there, and they have a new district attorney who's apparently going to take a tougher stand against the criminals. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in L.A. I think that guy, there's a recall to replace the guy in L.A. too. But look, if you're the district attorney, you got to enforce the laws of the state. And if you're not going to, then you're creating chaos and you're creating a situation like we see in many of these cities where people commit a crime on Monday, they're arrested on Monday, and on Wednesday they're out in the streets. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, how can you have how can a society function like that? The answer is a society cannot function like that. And I'm grateful that Governor DeSantis stood up and said, not in Florida. I like to see other governors do the same thing now, especially blue state governors, like in New York, in Illinois. I mean, Illinois, Chicago is a disaster. Everybody knows that, but the governor apparently doesn't want to do anything about it. California, we know about LA and San Francisco, and there may be other cases. So if you're the governor, your ultimate responsibility is to enforce the law. And if that's not happening, then you got to get rid of the people who are not doing their job. So well done. Well done, Governor DeSantis. Absolutely brilliant move by, as I say, a man who I believe has presidential material, is presidential material. He could be president of the United States. You never know. You never know what's going to happen between here and 2024. I'm one of those people who doesn't like to look that far ahead, because I think looking that far ahead is honestly pure speculation. We don't know what's going to happen in 2024. All we can do right now is focus on 2022, because that's the election coming up, and that's the one we should be focusing on. A new jobless claims report came out today, and it's up, meaning that more people are filing for unemployment. That's basically what that report says. So what that tells you is that all the talk about the recession is starting to look like a recession. Normally, when you have a recession, the jobless claims go up because people start filing for unemployment because they do not have work. So clearly, I think you're going to see, it's going to become more and more apparent to everybody here that we are in a recession, and how deep we go in this recession, your guess is as good as mine. But as I've told you many times, I remember 82 and I remember 83. And this one is starting to look a little bit like that because of the high rates of inflation that we saw back in 82 and the high rates of inflation that we are seeing, that we're seeing this time around. By the way, I got to ask you a question. Why is it that we have a baby formula shortage again? Can somebody explain that to me? Why we have a baby formula crisis again? Apparently, mothers cannot find baby formula at the store. What's the problem? I mean, I thought that we had taken care of this problem, or at least that's what the White House told us. So, I mean, if we have a baby formula crisis again, who's overlooking this over at the White House? I like to see what the heck is going on with respect to that. We have a press secretary right now who's, frankly, I want to be nice when I say this, but she's clearly in over her head. She said yesterday that the elimination of Roe v. Wade was unconstitutional, or overturning Roe v. Wade was unconstitutional. I don't know how far this lady got in her government class, but when I remember reading about government and the Supreme Court can overturn another Supreme Court. It's happened many, many times before. I mean, many, many times before. And to somehow say that this time it's unconstitutional, I just think that, you know, what it says to me, frankly, is that the White House is concerned about turnout and that they really want to get, I guess they believe they're going to get a lot of women to turn out if they keep talking like that. I don't think that's the case, but that's what they think. And they're trying to get their base out. That's what it sounds like to me. So they're saying something silly like this is unconstitutional, overturning Roe v. Wade is unconstitutional. I don't know what else to say other than it's a very foolish remark. And she is the press secretary of the United States. You would think that, I don't know, you would think she'd be a little bit more responsible with what she's saying. I think I agree here with my friend Sally, who said she's clueless. And she is. She is clueless. That's what you have to say. Well, let me leave you with a couple of things on this day in history that are always a lot of fun to look back to. On this day in 1901, Louis Armstrong was born. He passed away in 1971. You know, I hard to believe he's been dead for 50 years, but Louis Armstrong, the great trumpet player, who has a great, if you ever want to beat somebody in a trivia game, you can ask him the following question. Who kicked the Beatles out of first place in 1964? When the Beatles went on the Ed Sullivan Show, they had the number one position on Billboard from the end of January to the first week of May. The number one song every week was a song by the Beatles. So that's almost 4 months that the Beatles had the number one song. So what artist kicked the Beatles out of first place on Billboard in mid-May? Well, the answer is Louis Armstrong and that song, Hello Dolly, that he recorded, very popular song, a great song that he recorded. That's the song that finally stopped the Beatles' control of the number one position back in 1964. So there's your trivia question, Louis Armstrong. We remember that today. He was born on this day in 1901. The next thing that we remember on this day in history, this was fun. This is a fun one. And this is on August 4th, 1993. I'm outside playing catch with my sons, and we're listening to the baseball game on the radio. And all of a sudden, there's a fight in the game. And the fight is between Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura. As it turned out, Nolan hit Robin Ventura, who charged the mound, and we had one of the most hysterical fights in the history of the game. So that happened on this day. That would make it 29 years ago, right? 1993, 29 years ago. I don't know where the time goes anymore, but that was 29 years ago. Robin Ventura and Nolan Ryan in that great fight. You see Nolan, you know, hitting him, punching him. That was a great fight. You can see it on YouTube if you want to see it for yourself. But what a great moment that was. Everybody around the world was talking about Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura doing this thing on this day in 1993. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for your comments. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.